This is KMBA News. I'm Chip Krause. Walter Echohawk is a prominent Native American rights attorney and author. He stopped in to see Alaska Heritage Institute to talk about the factors leading to the Tiyitin Tlingit people losing a land rights case in 1955. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Rasha McChesney hears that some attitudes about losing that case are still around today.
We saw that in the World War II era Supreme Court decision, the Korematsu case.
Walter Echohawk is essentially a walking law library. And it makes sense, given that he's been practicing law since 1973.
After all, the jurist Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "This is a court of law, young man, not a court of justice."
Echohawk spent a lot of time talking about justice and who has access to it. And he used a case that he calls one of the greatest miscarriages of justice in Indian law. Echohawk laid out the facts of that case for about 60 people in the Shookahet Clan House. Essentially, Tlingit land was taken to create the Tongass National Forest. Then in 1951, the Forest Service offered up about 350,000 acres of that land for a timber sale near Wrangell. That land is home to the Tihitong Tlingit, and they sued. Echohawk calls it a test case, one that was designed to determine the extent of Tlingit land rights in Alaska. In this case, the Tlingit said they had aboriginal title to the land.
And they said it's just as valid as any white man's ordinary real estate title is.
The Tlingit contended that the timber sale was unconstitutional because their property could not be taken by the government without their consent and without compensation. But that case didn't end well for them. In 1955, the Supreme Court ruled that Congress gave them permission to occupy their homelands, but not title to it. So they had no basis for a claim that the government owed them money. And Echohawk laid out a few reasons why this happened, including racism and ignorance. And he also said that the 1950s was not a good time in the country to be bringing up these cases for Native American and Alaska Native people.
This was when the cowboy and Indian movies reigned supreme. All Americans thought they were cowpokes riding in the Wild West.
Federal policy at the time revolved around erasing Alaska Native and American Indian culture.
Given all of these factors, the Supreme Court could hardly be expected to come down with a favorable decision in this case for the Tlingit.
Catherine Eldemar has some thoughts on that last point. She's a lawyer and a judge and is on the board of directors of the Juneau-based Native corporation Goldbelt. One thing she suggested: get the judges out of their chambers and into Indian country.
They need to see where their decisions are being implemented and the outcomes. See the poverty, see the challenges, and see how it does not work.
Echohawk agreed with her. He says the lack of education among the judges and policymakers is probably the biggest single issue facing Indian country today. But he also said that there's a different mindset now than there was in 1955, that this is the dawn of a brand new era in federal Indian law. A human rights era. He points to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. It was ratified in the U.S. about a decade ago. And he says that UN framework could be used as the basis for legal arguments framing indigenous rights as human rights. That was an argument that Rosita Worrell took to heart. Worrell is the president of the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. She says Southeast Alaska Native people have appealed to the UN before, during a fight for their subsistence rights. And at the time, she didn't really see a way for the UN to help them. But now?
But here, we have this proclamation, and it sets out a framework for justice for Native Indigenous people.
Worrell says she's read the proclamation, but hadn't thought about the next step of pushing for the state and federal government to implement those recommendations into law.
So I'm going to go back and take another look at them.
Still, she sees echoes of the same arguments used to justify keeping Tlingit people from owning their land in that 1955 Supreme Court case, used in cases facing Southeast Alaska Native people today. She points to Alaska Native Vietnam veterans who are newly eligible for land claims, but they can't select land near their homes in the Tongass National Forest, which she says is an injustice. From Alaska's Energy Desk in Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
You can read that story and more at kmba.org/news. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.